The text is the gospel reading from St. Mark. I'm going to read the first verse of chapter 9 as well. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Here ends our text. My neighbor's son is in his first year at the Naval Academy. She recently talked to him and asked him if he had decided what he would give up for Lent. He replied, Mom, I'm at the Naval Academy. They've already taken away everything I could give up. You think that's true? I don't. In fact, this text shows us 3 things that every one of us not only could, but should give up for Lent. Give up jealousy for Lent. Jealousy is in this text. Right before it, Jesus had told all 12 disciples that some of them would get to see the kingdom of God coming in power. Then Jesus took only Peter, James, and John. Now among disciples that argued who was the greatest, among disciples who wouldn't stoop to wash each other's feet, there had to be hard feelings because of this. James and John go as brothers. Yet Andrew, Peter's brother, and the first disciple, doesn't go. Philip, whom Jesus himself recruited, doesn't get to go. And not even Nathanael, whom Jesus knew so well, gets to go. Jealousy is alive among us. Why does that person get all the breaks, we think? Why do things always go right for her? How come that person is so healthy and I have only health problems? And make no mistakes about it. Though we think and speak of people, we're really talking about our Lord. It's not luck, it's not chance, it's not fate. It's not just how it is that determines sickness and health, pain and pleasure, success and failure. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one who makes distinctions between Christians. Well, does realizing that help you give up jealousy for Lent? Well, knowledge can help you change outward behavior. Knowledge can aid you in giving up some food, some drink, or some habit for Lent. But knowledge can't enable you to give up sin. If it did, well, then the Ten Commandments, they would have been enough. The people would have come away from Mount Sinai never sinning again, because now they knew it was wrong to steal, it was wrong to worship other gods, it was wrong to tell lies, etc., etc. Knowledge won't help you give up any sin for Lent or at any other time. So what will? Well, before I answer that, let me tell you something else you should give up for Lent. Give up your opinions about Jesus. People who don't deny Jesus existed, yet don't believe he's Lord and God, they usually believe he was a good example or a great teacher. Jesus either shows them how to give up things for Lent, or he teaches them how to do it. Well, Jesus does teach, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And Jesus certainly shows you how that's done. But note well, Jesus doesn't teach, deny your love for chocolate, deny your taste for meat, or deny your hobby. He teaches, deny yourself. Now we're pretty close to that jealousy thing again, aren't we? When I'm jealous, I'll tell you one thing for sure. It's all about me, and I'm 100% right. There is no other way to look at it than I am. I am being wrong because that person has something more, better, or different than I have. To give up jealousy, I would have to reach down my throat and pull out my heart. So interconnected with it am I. Nothing less than the death of me, myself, and I is required for me to give up jealousy for Lent. And Jesus sure shows me how that's done, doesn't he? He's beaten, whipped, mocked, and crucified, and doesn't complain. He hangs from the cross, scarred, bloody, swollen, and dead. Yep, that's all it takes to give up jealousy or any other sin. That's all it takes to give up jealousy or any other sin you might be keeping as a pet. Have it beaten, whipped, and pounded out of you till you're dead. Jesus, the good example, Jesus, the great teacher, doesn't help a bit, does he? If we're really going to give up sin for Lent, we first need to give up our opinions about Jesus. No matter how pious, no matter how high, no matter how devout they may be, they are still just opinions. On the last day, what you, what me, or anyone else thinks of Jesus is not going to matter. Come judgment day, Jesus isn't going to ask you, well, what's your opinion of me? But as you stand before him on your trembling knees, you're going to be dying to know what he thinks of you. And the only way you're going to arrive at the right answer to that is if by God's grace you see beyond your opinions of who Jesus is. Then you will see what Jesus came to do. Then you will know what Jesus thinks of you. This text shows you who Jesus is. He's not just a teacher, not just a rabbi, not just a friend. He is God in flesh and blood. God declares from heaven that the one who called himself the Son of Man is also the Son of God. Now, the amazing thing is not that Jesus allows us to see his flesh and blood glow with the heavenly power that is his from all eternity. The amazing thing is that Jesus stopped glowing and came down off that mountain. If Jesus hadn't done these two things, he could not have suffered, could not have been crucified, could not have died in place of sinners. Jesus would have remained on that mountain, dwelling in one of the booths Peter offered to make. He would have remained above and beyond the blood, the sweat, and the tears it cost to pay for your sins. Who could have nailed Jesus to a cross? Who could have whipped him? Who could have slapped or mocked him for the jealousy that never ceases to be in my fallen heart if Jesus had not stopped glowing whiter than the sun and came down off that mountain? But Jesus did stop glowing, and he did walk down that mountain. Why? Because people gave him money? Because people worshipped him? Because people served him? No, no, and no. He came down off that mountain because people were sinners, because people needed saving, because the jealous, sinful hearts of people were taking them straight to hell unless someone went and got them. A good teacher, even a great teacher, is not going to go to hell for you. And what if he did? You'd still go to hell. Another man suffering hell does not save anyone else from hell. But a man who is God going to hell in place of sinners, well, that's another matter. If Jesus paid for my sins, who can make me pay for them now? Who can send me to hell if Jesus went for me already? What does Jesus think of you? He thought so much of you that he gladly did what you could not do, keep the Ten Commandments, and then suffered and paid for your not keeping them. This makes Jesus your Savior, and what I really hope you give up for Lent is listening to others rather than Jesus. You heard God the Father thunder to those cowering disciples, listen to him. You know why he said that? Because they had not been listening to him. And neither have we. We listen instead to Moses. We hear Moses thunder, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt do that. We hear Moses command us, you shall not be jealous. And we set off doing our best not to be jealous anymore. But we fail, fail, and fail. So we try harder, but we fail even harder. So we turn to Moses thinking more of Moses has got to help. But he doesn't. He either makes us despair of ever being pleasing to God, or he fools us into thinking doing our best not to be jealous makes us pleasing to God. There's a time to listen to Moses, but it's only for a while. In the text, Moses returned to heaven. Jesus remains. Listen to Moses only till he convinces you that you are a sinner and that no amount of your trying is going to save you from hell. Then it's time to listen to Jesus. And what did Jesus say about your sin, be it jealousy, greed, pride, lust, or worry? What does Jesus say about that sin that's dragging you to hell? What did Jesus say about that sin that you cannot beat? He says, I forgive you. I cleanse you. I free you from it. It's no longer your master. Listen to Jesus. Don't listen to Moses. And don't listen to Elijah. Elijah was the hero the disciples had grown up waiting for. When Elijah returned, the Jews would win again. That's what they thought. You know why they thought that? Because Elijah never loses in the Bible. He takes on 900 prophets of Baal and he wins. He's mighty in word and deed and is taken to heaven in a whirlwind. But don't listen to Elijah. Listen to Elijah. Listen to Jesus, because Elijah does not remain with us. Jesus does. And Elijah and Jesus have different views of winning. Elijah wins by making other people suffer. Jesus wins by suffering. Elijah wins by making his enemies die. Jesus wins by dying at the hands of his enemies. Elijah is taken to heaven accompanied by glorious chariots of fire. Jesus is taken to heaven by a cross surrounded by Roman chariots. If you listen to Elijah about winning, then your sickness, your sorrow, your suffering, your problems can only be indications that you're losing. Then those other people, without your aches, without your pains, without your afflictions, they are winning and have more of God's favor. But listening to Jesus, you find the world's definition of winning and losing transfigured, changed. Jesus tells you that the world's sickness, that's his health. The world's sorrow, that's his joy. The world's weakness, that's his strength. And that the world's suffering is his Father's care. Give up listening to others for Lent. Listen to Jesus, and listen wherever Jesus speaks. Don't be put off by the simple places Jesus speaks to you. It has always been God's way to wrap holy, divine things in simple human ones. God wrapped his eternal word in human letters. God the Son is wrapped in human flesh and blood. Do not be jealous of others who say Jesus speaks to them in their heart, in their dreams, in their thoughts. No, you have a more certain word from Jesus than this. Jesus speaks to you in your baptism, telling you that you are God's child. Jesus speaks to you in the absolution, saying your sins are really forgiven. And Jesus speaks in Holy Communion, testifying that his body and blood are wrapped in bread and wine for forgiveness and life now, and for salvation for eternity. If you want to give up something for Lent, give up your sins. But you can't do that unless you give up your opinions about Jesus and give up listening to others instead of Jesus. But these you can only do once Jesus' opinion of you saves you from yourself. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.